Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and today we are going to start our sixth and final part of the series that we've been working on, talking about, which is, does God still speak today? And so I've laid a foundation for this over the last five episodes, so I encourage you to go back and listen to those. Today, we are going to talk about discerning prophetic words. Now, this is something that Christian Center has done a video on, an excellent video, just to help people discern which prophetic voices they should be listening to. And I encourage y'all to go back and find that video on YouTube, on the Christian Center Shreveport webpage, and listen to it because it's an excellent video. And a lot of what we talk about today will just be a rehash of that, and then a little added, a little something else added in as well. So I think first you need to understand that I don't want to talk about really itinerant prophets right now, prophets that travel and that is what they do, these big prophetic people who speak to nations and internationally, even though you can use these principles for them. I really want to talk more about like the prophetic in a church. You know, yesterday we talked about the church being a prophetic community, which I firmly believe that the church is God's prophetic community to the world. And today we are going to kind of talk about discerning words. So I think it's important that we all know first that just because you might miss a prophetic word or give a prophetic word that's inaccurate does not make you a false prophet, okay? Not in the New Testament by any shape or means. Now, it doesn't mean that it's okay to go around and give false words, but you need to understand that everyone misses it, okay? We all miss it at times. In fact, I was actually doing a workshop on this last week, and you know, I was telling the story when I was young, just growing in the prophetic and starting out in this, that I was coming back from a trip over in Colombia, and I was on the airplane on the way home, and I was probably 21 at the time, and I remember getting on the airplane and sitting next to a woman. And I remember just sitting down and said, Lord, I'd really like to give her a word. You know, is there something that you like to share with me about her? And I was really, really zealous to give people prophetic words in this moment of my life. And I really, like, really pushed into it. Kind of like, I guess, you know, when you really want to do something, you know, you kind of obsess over it. And so that's kind of where I was in my walk, because this was a new thing I was stepping into and learning and wanted to grow in. So I was very eager to kind of take steps and risks. So I sit down and, you know, I ask the Lord this, and he says, you know, she's a teacher, right? So I turned to the lady. I said, hey, are you a teacher? And she says, yeah, I am. How did you know? And I didn't want to scare off or anything, so I just said, oh, no, you just kind of feel like one. Like, I just get that feeling when I'm around you, which wasn't a lie by any means, because I get impressions. And so I had an impression that she was a teacher. So, you know, we were talking for a little bit, and she told me that she had just retired. And, you know, me being intense in my desire to want to give her a prophetic word, I really started, you know, sometimes when you're giving prophetic words, you're like, is this me or is this the Lord? And so I tell her, I said, you know, I feel like that was a really difficult time for you. And, you know, that, you know, your retirement didn't really go the way you wanted to. And she looked at me and said, actually, it was one of the best times of my life. I'm so happy I'm retired. And I was like, oh man, I completely missed it. Fell flat on my face. And that obviously brought me to a conversation with the Lord, you know, and in my conversation with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, how can I get such a word of knowledge about her profession 1 minute and then the next completely miss it? You know, and he spoke to me a few things on that. One was, he says, you know, you heard me first and then you heard yourself. You weren't listening to me. You were too eager to give her a word that you were listening to yourself. But second, he said, I gave you that word to start a conversation with her. And what happened is I had devalued the conversation, you know, searching for something else in the prophetic, when the prophetic had opened a door to a conversation with this woman. All right, so that just shows you can miss it. And we need to understand that people can miss prophetic words. And there's nothing wrong with that. We also need to understand that this was something that was also understood in the New Testament. And we'll go through and look at some scripture. Paul, in several of his letters, encourages people to test prophetic words. Okay, the Bible encourages us to do so. Do not blindly accept every prophetic word you get. You know, because there are three sources of prophecy. One is the Lord. Another is yourself, your soul, your imagination, right? And then another one could be an evil or lying spirit, right? The enemy. So there's really three sources where the prophetic can come from, and we need to be able to discern which source it's coming from. So Paul, in his letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, says this. He says, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh or judge what is said." All right, so this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. We have to understand that he is speaking to a church and the prophets that are actually part of that church. He's not speaking about itinerant prophets that are coming into the church. He's speaking about prophets that are actually part of this church. And he's saying, let them speak and then judge what they say. Okay, so that we need to understand that it's important to judge people's words. Even the people that we know and go to church with us, we still need to judge the prophetic words. Then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, and Paul again, he says this. He says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully." Okay, so again, you get this idea of examining everything carefully. Examine each prophetic word, each prophetic utterance. But then he says this, because the Thessalonian church was having issues with people coming in and bringing a false gospel or a false prophetic message. And he said this, he goes, look, even though that you're getting false prophetic messages, do not despise them. Like, don't quench the spirit. Don't stop the Holy Spirit from moving. Because a lot of times we've talked about this. When we see that there's an error, we want to swing to the opposite extreme, which is not always the case. Okay, so we see that people have been using the prophetic in an incorrect way, so we want to swing to the opposite extreme and say, well, we're just not going to use it. That error, in my opinion, is probably worse than the first one. Okay, so don't quench the spirit, but test everything, right? And then even John, in John's first letter, John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Okay, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, he's speaking a lot about people twisting the gospel and in the message of gospel and salvation in Jesus and all the heresies that came through. People who said, well, I had an encounter, and in my encounter, I saw that Jesus was an angel or, you know, whatever. And so he's saying we need to test everything, right? Now, even the earliest Christian writing that we have that's not in the actual canon of scripture, the Didache, teaches people how to judge and discern false prophets. So that's, we have to understand that this is a part of church history. So people, here's the thing about prophecy. It can get messy, right? Especially when your entire church is getting prophetic revelation, things can get messy. That's the reality of it. And so a lot of people, I have talked to pastors who said, prophetic is really messy and complicated, so we just don't do that, right? So for me, that goes back to what Paul says when he says, do not quench the spirit. Okay, you're quenching the spirit. Why? Because it's easier for everyone to, you know, be okay and for things to be normal and unity to be there when there's not all these prophetic utterances coming all over the place, right? And so for me, that's not biblical. I mean, if you understand the price that Jesus paid to release his Holy Spirit and give his Holy Spirit to every believer, right? And the effects of which lead to the gifts and prophecy and everything we've talked about, then you would not quench it. Okay, you would not quench the Holy Spirit because he's a gift. Okay, and he's a major part of why we actually do what we do and have the pretty much the reality of the church. A lot of it is found in the fact that we are people filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Now, an interesting thing is, you know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, he says that, you know, you're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we get this idea of priesthood, that we are a priesthood, a royal priesthood, and we are called to proclaim his excellencies. Now, one major responsibility of the Old Testament priest is to discern what's holy and what's not holy. Okay, to discern what's God and what's not God. Remember, they had all the laws. They had layers. The tabernacle had layers going out towards the camp of Israel of clean, unclean areas, unholy, holy areas. And the closer you got to the center, the closer you got to the Ark of the Presence, the more sanctified and holy things had to become. All right, and so the priest had to judge between holy and not holy. They had to judge between what was God and what's not God. Now, the interesting thing, if you go read Leviticus 8, verses 33, the priests that were being ordained were required to stay inside the tent of meeting for 7 days. They could not leave the tent of meeting. Well, the tent of meeting is the tabernacle. That's where the presence of God literally was very strong. Okay, there's a very strong presence of God in the tent of meeting. So they are in the intense presence of God. Okay, this is the place where the cloud covered it by day and a pillar of fire by night. Okay, so you had the manifest presence of God in the tent of meeting. And they could not leave it for 7 days. So, you know, one day I was just praying about this, and the Lord told me, it's like, you know why, you know, one of the reasons why I did that with my priest, he said, was so that they would be so familiar and accustomed to my presence and what it feels like that when they got out, they would be able to discern immediately what did not come from me and what did come from me. Okay, and I think that speaks a lot for Christians, that we should be very accustomed, you know, familiar, not in a bad way, not like nonchalant, but very accustomed and knowledgeable of what the presence of God feels like. So that when we get out and we're in these atmospheres or people are speaking prophetic messages, we know what those words feel like. Okay? Because the church is a prophetic community. So, all that being said, what are a few ways that we can discern prophetic words? All right, and like I said, we've talked about this at Christian Center Shreveport. They've done a video on it. It's an excellent video. I really do encourage you to go and watch it and find it. But here are a few ways, and it's not limited to this, but here's a few ways that we judge a word. Number one is, as we were just talking about, what does the word feel like? Okay, when that word is being released, what does it feel like? Okay, what happens to you? You know, we have a saying at Christian Center that John uses all the time. Did that word have wind on it? You know, why do we say wind? Okay, because, you know, in the beginning, in Genesis, and all throughout the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, the word ruha, okay, which could be breath, spirit, wind, is used for the same word for God's Holy Spirit. So when it said the Spirit was hovering over the waters, that word is ruha, right? Okay, then when it says that God breathed the breath of His Spirit, the word is ruha. Okay, so that's why we say wind. Okay, in reference of the Spirit, does it have wind on it? And so, what does that do to us? Well, Hebrews, and you know, quoting Hebrews, quoting the Old Testament, tells us that the Lord's ministers are flames of fire. Okay, so you are a flame of fire. So when the wind of God blows on you, what happens when you blow air onto a fire? It gets bigger, right? It goes whew, and it kind of swells up. And that's what should happen when a word of the Lord comes upon you. It should, your spirit should well up within you. Just kind of like, remember when Mary was pregnant with Jesus and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And it says that the spirit leapt within Elizabeth when she saw Mary. Okay, the same thing happens with us when we get a prophetic word, just that our spirit within us just wells up. And you know, people who are feelers and discerners will understand what I'm talking about. So that's one way. You know, what does it feel like? What happens to your spirit when that word's spoken? A lot of times it's weird because emotionally you cannot like the word, but spiritually it wells up in you and you realize it's a word of the Lord. Okay, like for me, one time I had a very seasoned prophet say, "You're in a tough situation. You're not done. In fact, it's about to get worse." Emotionally, logically, I did not like that word, but my spirit reacted to that word, and I realized, okay, this is of the Lord. Okay, this is of the Lord. So, you know, as John and our church teaches, you have 5 physical senses. You also have 5 spiritual senses. So this would be feeling, right? You know, and another thing that we always talk about is flattery. You know, people can give you a word that's just flattery. So what happens with flattery? Well, with flattery, your spirit doesn't well up, but your flesh does. You feel it in your flesh. And so it's kind of like you go, it's like, whoa. And then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, this feels kind of dirty. Right? This feels kind of, and you feel like you need to wipe it off. It's like, that just feels kind of dirty, feels funky. And that can be flattery. So we need to make sure that you don't listen to your emotions or your soul, but listen to God's presence and listen to your spirit. Okay. So the next thing is, we talked about, what does the word feel like? The next thing is, does it contain an aspect of hope? Right? Does the prophetic word contain an aspect of hope? Look, even God's judgments in the Old Testament had an aspect of hope in them. Remember when he was about to exile Judah, and he pretty much told him, he said, look, I'm going to bring you back, right? Like, I'm punishing you, I'm exiling you, I'm sending you to your enemy, you know, you're going to live there for years, but I'm going to bring you back. Okay, so there was an aspect of hope to it. There was redemption. The Lord's words always have redemption to them. We have to understand that the Lord might give judgment words, but there's always an aspect of redemption, okay? And there's always a purpose to it. And if the prophetic message doesn't convey that, then you really need to strongly consider what's the source of that prophetic message. John says all the time that some prophets are just angry, and because of that, they're always prophesying judgment and anger. So, does it contain hope? Third, does the prophetic word align with the scripture, okay, with the word of God, right? Just remember, we talked about this. Scripture is like the boundary. Does it fall within scripture? Does it agree with the character of God portrayed in scripture? If someone gives a prophetic word that says God is angry at his children and he's angry father right now, and like, okay, can we find that in scripture where he's an angry father, okay? No, okay, he's a good father, he's a loving father, he's merciful. Paul tells us in Romans that it's the mercies and patience of God that lead us to repentance. So these are things that we need to consider, right? Now, another one, the fourth one, this is really important. Who is the person giving the prophetic word, all right? Do you have a relationship with them? In other words, like, are they a member of your church? Do you know them? Are they credible? Okay, do they have a record of giving accurate prophetic words? What is their character like? What is their relationship with the Lord like? Now, I'm not telling you to go and judge everybody extensively, because look, the Lord can speak through anyone, right? But we have a, you know, probably a protocol at our church that we all understand, but we don't necessarily have it in writing, is we're not going to give you the mic to release a prophetic word if we don't know you and if you're not in good standing with the church house. All right, and I think that's just smart, okay? So we're not just give anyone the mic. In fact, if someone at Christian Center gets a prophetic word, they go to one of the leaders, and they share with the leader, this is what I'm getting. And that leader discerns right then and there, first, is this the Lord? Excuse me. And then second, does this fit with the flow and the guiding of the service right now? Okay, so these are things to be aware of. Now, I was talking with John the other day about, I personally think that the prophetic coming up in this next season is going to be prophetic that is grown in the church itself. How does a church come together to steward the prophetic revelation that the entire body of that congregation is getting? And I think when we can learn how to do that, you'll get a much crisper, clearer, powerful administration of the prophetic. Okay? You know, and John made the statement, he goes, most of the seasoned prophets now, they were prophets outside of the church. In other words, they learned about the prophetic apart from the church. Well, we're coming into a season where churches are starting to learn and grow and cultivate the prophetic in these young prophets within the church. And so we need to learn how to incorporate that. So those are a few key ways that you can discern a prophetic word. Look, make sure you judge every prophetic word. You know, don't judge the person. Look, we can all miss it, all right? But you also need to be humble enough to know that you can miss it. I'll give you one last example before I close. You know, a week or two after this coronavirus hit, we had to stream live. Well, I woke up that morning with a burden in my heart for the older generation. You know, there was something with the coronavirus hitting this older generation. And so when we get to church, you know, there's worship, and I walk over to John, who's amazing. I mean, when it comes to discerning words and helping people process through prophetic. He's just, I mean, he's got an amazing gift. And so he's really good at administrating prophecy and the prophetic. So I walk over there and say, look, I really feel like there's something with the older generation in this virus. And it's like, I think it might be like a judgment on the older generation. And, you know, I'm externally processing with John. And, you know, John kind of looks at me, you know, I can tell he's really thinking about it, trying to feel it. And he goes, you know what, why don't you sit on that word a little longer and really kind of ask the Lord. You know, so I didn't get angry and say, you know, I hear from the Lord. What do you mean? I listened to John. I said, you know, you're right. So I walked away and I started dialoguing with the Lord. And I'm telling you, the minute I did, and I really honored what John had told me, the Lord revealed immediately to me what I was feeling. He gave me words. He goes, it's not a judgment. It's an attack on the older generation. And the enemy is trying to prevent the older generation from releasing their generational blessings to their children and their children's children. And so I was able to get up and give the prophetic word that was generational. I said, look, you need to lay your hands on your kids, lay your hands on your grandkids, and you need to bless them and release a generational blessing like Jacob did for his children. And so, but that's an example of how, you know, we can seek counsel with our prophetic to really help us make sure we are getting the whole counsel of the Lord and we are getting the full image and picture. So I hope that helped you guys. It's really important to discern prophetic words, make sure not to just accept things blindly, and, you know, really seek the Lord. Know what he feels like, know what his presence feels like, so that when you get a word, you can say, even though I didn't like the word, it felt like the Lord, right? Or you can say, I did like the word, but that did not feel like the Lord. That sounded like flattery. Okay, you really, I encourage you, I mean, I'm a feeler, so I really relate that way with a lot of things. But so that's my advice to you guys. And with that, we are closing out this last part of this series. So tomorrow we'll come back with something else, and we'll start a series maybe next week. Tomorrow will probably just be a filler episode just to talk about some maybe current events and things that are happening. But I enjoy this, guys. I hope you enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you guys tomorrow. So you guys have a blessed day.